yeah, I've been reading Ephesians and thinking, I need to preach from this again. And so I thought I'd start at the end. Because being the contrary sort of person that I am. But actually, I think it's important that we start here. And I'll explain that a little bit more as we progress. But Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. As I should. I think as we come to Scripture, as we come to know what God wants to say to us, I think it's important that we understand the context and are prepared for the battle ahead. Are you battle ready? You hear it often said, life's a battle. Life's like a battle. I want to tell you, the thing is, life isn't like a battle. Life really is a battle. We hear about the battle of the sexes. You watch the TV news and there's battles raging in politics. There are battles of ideologies, battles for land, battles for justice, battles for significance. There are battles for power. There's a battle going on. And we're in the midst of it. And if we think that we're not, then somehow we are deluding ourselves. Because the battle is raging all around us. And the problem when there's a battle going on is there's always someone to blame. Have you noticed that? There's always someone to blame for the battle. And what we do is, things aren't going well. Things aren't going well for us. Things aren't going well in the world. And there's got to be someone to blame. And what we like to do, and I want to put it to us that we're no different than anyone else in the world in this respect, we tend to demonize people. The problem becomes personified in a person. Anyone on social media knows that there's a lot of this going on at the moment in the US. So, you know, we have Barack Obama. He's demonized by the right. Donald Trump seems to be demonized by everyone, but people keep seem to want to vote for him. Hillary Clinton is demonized. We look at our own political sphere. Jeremy Corbyn is demonized because he's soft on defense. David Cameron is demonized because he went to Eton and has posh friends. All the problems with welfare and benefits and unemployment is the problem of Ian Duncan Smith. As though he just simply says, there's no job for you. And hands that out. We demonize things. The problem of fear and why we need a nuclear weapon, well, that's because of Kim Jong-il, isn't it? Or Kim Jong-un, or Kim Jong whatever he is. You know, he's the demon with the nuclear weapons. It was Iran. But somehow they've been brought back into the fold as being friendly because they're less demonized than ISIS. And then, you know, it's always the fault of the Muslims, the gays, the migrants, whoever. Someone's getting blamed for what's going on in the world. It's always someone's fault. That's the context in which we live. And Paul writes to us, because he does, and he says this: our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Yeah, but it's them civil servants at the job centre that are causing poverty. No, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's this political party, it's that political party, it's those people, it's that people. What about ISIS? What about terrorists? What about this? I'm telling you, it is not about flesh and blood. They're not who we're meant to be fighting. We need to be reminded of it, because if we go to war against flesh and blood, if we go to war not prepared, as Paul writes, for the battle, then I'm sorry, but we'll fight the wrong battles and we'll end up wounded or worse. The issue of evil and the problems in the world is not an issue with people. It is about the devil's schemes. The devil, Satan, or Beelzebub, you know, he has these names because names have meaning. Scriptural names have meaning. He's the deceiver. He's the slanderer. He's the liar. He's the one who comes to trick us. He's the one who comes to distract us from God. The devil's schemes are laid out for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to stop the good news of the love of God being shared across the world. That's it. That's his point in being. He wants to stop people being set free by the love of Jesus Christ. He wants to stop people being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He wants to stop people coming into a relationship with God. He's quite happy if we get all religious and put all the rules out and say, this is what you've got to do to be right with God. He loves it, because it's then about religion, not about relationship with God. It's about what we do, not about what Jesus has done. He sits back and goes, they've done it again. So we need to be ready. Now, I want to be careful and say, I'm not saying that when you leave here, there's a demon behind every bush. You know, I don't want to go down that route. Actually, thinking about it, it'd be much easier if there was a demon behind every bush. Because I could just go, be gone in Jesus' name, and they'd have to go. You know, if there was a demon behind every bush, it would be so much easier. But there isn't. It's a bit more complex than that, and I'll come on to that a little bit later. But we have to understand the problem we face. The problems you face this morning, the problems you've left behind as you've come here, maybe the problems that are still with you and still churning up inside of you, those problems, can I tell you, they're not the problem. The problem is the problem behind the problem, and that's Satan, who is trying to distract you from the love of God. That's the real problem. I want to tell you an example of how fighting the wrong battles gets you nowhere. In 1910, a conference took place in Edinburgh. It was the Edinburgh Missionary Conference. Churches from all over the world came together and they developed a strategy. This is 1910. They planned a strategy to evangelize to the ends of the earth within 10 years. They had missionaries ready. They had strategies. They were going to go to every nation and preach the gospel within the next 10 years. What's significant about that is that in Matthew 24, Jesus says, when the gospel has been preached to the ends of the earth, then the world will end. Then it will all be wrapped up. Then Jesus would return. So that was the strategy that was agreed. The gospel would be preached to every ethnic group. The Great Commission would be achieved. You can imagine, as people left the Edinburgh Missionary Conference, they were on a high. They were full of the Holy Spirit and charged, ready to go. But what happened to the plan? What happened to the plan that would see the devil finally defeated once and for all? Well, on the 28th of June, 1914, a certain Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria was shot dead in Sarajevo. A prince gets shot. Nothing new in that. Except the Austrians decided that the Serbs were to blame, and they demonized the Serbs. So Austria declared war on Serbia, because it's all the fault of them Serbs, isn't it? They've killed our prince, so we're going to go to war against them. Now, of course, what this meant was the Russians, who were friends of the Serbs, demonized the Austrians and their allies, the Germans, and they went to war against them. And then Britain and France, who were friends of the Russians, went to war against Germany and Austria. And so what you see is a spiraling into what became World War One. Is it great that around this time the royal family in Britain decided to change their name to the Windsors? Because, of course, having a German name, because let's face it, they were cousins of the Tsar and of the Kaiser, it all looks a bit too messy. We've got to be much more English, because we're at war. In that war, 70 million young men were mobilized. Over 9 million would die. 8 million went missing, never to be seen again. 21 million were injured. And 7 million civilians were killed. This was the war to end all wars. And it led directly to the rise of communism and fascism in Europe that would kill millions more in the 20th century. You see, if people say, well, faith, religion, it's all about war, let me tell you that the 20th century, more people died in war than have died in war in any other time put together, and none of it was about religion. The result is generations of young people were affected and diverted from the primary purpose of being salt and light, fulfilling the Great Commission, and were distracted into the wrong kind of war. You look at our own church history, if you look at the thing, up until 1914, the graph was going like this. Of numbers increasing, more children being reached, the war came and the numbers went down. Because a whole generation came back from the war and said, where is God in all of that? You see, they forgot that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's the powers behind the issue. Instead of putting on the armour of God and taking a stand against the devil's schemes, they resorted to a different kind of armour and a different kind of stand. Can I say, we might not go off and start a great war, but the battle we do with individuals in our own strength has the same impact on lives. And it is counter to the gospel. It's a stark reminder that if we take things into our own hands and ignore the instructions of God, then we play into the devil's schemes. Now, most of our battles are pretty small compared to the Great War. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's about the powers, the rulers, not the flesh and blood, but the powers. You know, there's a good Baptist joke that goes around that says, what's the difference between a demon and a deacon? Well, you can cast out demons. You see, in many Baptist churches, there's a body of the deacons, and they're the powers that be. You know, they're the people who say, we've never done that here. And they're the ones who say, over my dead body, and people go, oh, if only. You know, that's the kind of thing that happens even in churches. The powers that be are incredibly strong. So when we're tempted to have a go at someone, when we're tempted to personalise the battle, stop. Stop for a moment and pause and think, what is the power behind what is going on here? Your battle, sorry, there's some stereotypes in here, but sorry, your battle isn't against the abusive husband or the nagging wife, or the unreasonable boss, or the uncaring politician, or the bureaucratic civil servant. That's not who your battle's against. Your battle is a spiritual battle. And you've got to stop trying to fight it in your strength and the weapons of this world. Just stop. How much of our energy is wasted trying to fight the battle in our own strength according to the personality that's there? You know, hands up who's had an unreasonable boss. Who's won in their own strength? You can't put your hand up. But, you know, you cannot win the battle with unreasonable. I went on the courses, you know, how to win friends and influence people. It's great. They say, this will help with all your problems. You say, yeah. But it's not about me, it's about him. You know, it says, be kind, do this, be good. Yeah, but he's unreasonable. He isn't going to respond to this. It's great if you're dealing with a reasonable person, but when you're dealing with an unreasonable person, it doesn't work. Well, what I was doing wasn't working either. So, you know, it's not a case of how do we win this battle then? If it's not against the person that is appears to be, maybe is doing us wrong. How do we fight a battle like that? Don't people say, well, what if? You know, sometimes you've got to fight. Sometimes you've got to do these things. Well, I'm not convinced of the inevitability of that at all. I think there is a better way. The first thing that Paul encourages is to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Remember that the power of the Lord our God in Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything else in the world. God is strong. Jesus has won the battle. Even the power of death could not contain him. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we see that God always wins. God is never defeated. God's people sometimes get defeated, but it's usually when they forget God and go and fight the battles they weren't called to fight. God is always victorious. The book of Revelation is set in the context of all that persecution, all that turmoil, when Domitian is taking Christians and setting them alight at the side of the road to light the way. You know, oh, we're a bit short of street lamps today, let's go and get a couple of Christians, stake them in the ground and set fire to them. You know, and John gets a vision of Jesus and says, it's all right, God wins in the end. And that encourages the church to keep on going. God wins. We need his power because our power isn't sufficient to win the battle. The devil's schemes are all about us being tempted to forget that God wins. Us being tempted to forget that God has won. Tempted to forget how God has blessed us. How God has responded to us. The devil wants us to forget that. So when we come across a problem, we don't respond to it, we react to it. We blow up. We get all agitated. It's all about, why is this person having a go at me? Our hackles rise and we're in that battle before we've had a chance to think. All we do is hurt other people and more than likely end up hurting ourselves in the process. In a worldly battle, everyone loses. Putting on God's armour for God's battle is getting ready for a different kind of war. Paul uses the pieces of the Roman soldier's armour as an illustration. I'm not going to do the suit of armour sermon this morning. You know, there's many a sermon been preached about each article that Paul suggests. But briefly what he's saying is we have to be equipped and ready. And we have to be equipped with the right armour because our battle is a spiritual one. It isn't what you think it is. It's not about the person. It's about the powers at work and how those powers have influenced that person. You know, it was Eddie Lyle, wasn't it, who was praying from open doors. He was praying for the soul of Osama bin Laden. He said, because you can't fight that kind of evil head on. But you can pray for a revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, boy, that man can motivate people around the world. If he was a Christian, just think what he could do. You see, you've got to understand the power behind the face and deal with the power. You know, when we go and attack individuals, if you forget that it's not them, it's the power behind them, the very power that got them have got you as well. The armour of God is all about making sure that we stand strong in the fundamental truths of the good news. You don't just get up and you're already wearing the armour. You have to physically strap the armour on for battle. You know, if you watch films about Romans, they're wandering around in togas and little skirts, aren't they? They don't go into battle like that. They strap their armour on. They have to get ready for battle. You're not walking down the street ready for battle. When the battle comes, you've got to get ready. You can get ready very quickly by talking to God. Or you can go into battle completely unprepared. Putting the armour on is about reflecting upon the fixed points of truth about what God has done. So you say, well, that's okay, I understand, but really, you know, this person is being abusive, this person is really unreasonable. There are people hurting, we've got to do something. It's hurting people. What do we do? Well, it does hurt because we're in a battle, but you won't win using the wrong tactics. The weapons of warfare that God wants us to use are not the weapons of anger, of rage. They're the weapons of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and of prayer. See, most people today, if you said, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to pray about it. We'd say, yeah, but what are we going to do about it? We're going to pray about it. No, but what are we going to do about it? We're going to pray about it. Yeah, but what are we going to do about it? We're going to pray about it. No, John. We've got to do something about it. You see, the problem is the devil tricks us into thinking that prayer isn't doing something about it. Prayer is everything about doing something about it. Because if we don't pray about it, well, we're distracted from the purpose. Look at what Paul says. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. So, praying for one another. Always be praying for one another. Pray also for me, says Paul, whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Not pray that I'll get out of jail. Not pray for wealth for the saints. Not pray for this. But actually pray that the word of God might fearlessly be made known. See, what's the purpose of God that the devil wants to destroy? That the word of God will be made known to the ends of the earth. So we need to pray for the strength to make the word of God known. If getting the word of God known gets us killed, that's not a problem. It is not a problem if we die for the cause. It's never a problem for the missionaries to go here, there and everywhere. Some never to return. Some to die. Some to be attacked as soon as they hit the shore. It was never a problem for them to do that, because the word of God was spread by that. We need to pray. We need to pray. There's a film that's been released, a Christian film. It's called War Room. It's about a lady in the US who's selling a house. And she's showing the estate agent round. And she says, this is my favourite room. And it's just off the bedroom, and it's a closet. With a chair, a table, a lamp, a battered old Bible, and lists on the wall. Prayers prayed, prayers answered. She says, I love this room. This is my war room. This is where I go and I fight for my loved ones. This is where I fight for everyone in prayer. And the estate agent is having problems with a marriage. And the old lady's solution is stop fighting him. Stop trying to change him. Stop trying to do anything, but find yourself somewhere and pray for him. Go to war against the powers that are behind the problem. And pray. You see, when we pray, we're equipped to win. And when we pray and we're equipped to win, the only loser is Satan. When we fight the good fight, in the way that the New Testament teaches us, we win. Victory doesn't always look like victory. As we share communion and we remember the cross, victory doesn't always look like victory. But it's a victory nonetheless. Prayer and praise are the weapons of warfare. Remember, Paul and Silas were in prison. And they began praising God in song. And the whole earth was shaken. And the jail was opened. And what did they do? They didn't run for freedom. They led the jailer and his family to the Lord. God won. God doesn't change. So why are we allowing ourselves to be convinced by the enemy that God won't work in this situation or that situation or whatever situation you're facing? God wins. The problem that we see is that there are principalities and powers. As I've said, if they were demons, it would be easy. We could cast it out. Poverty, often called the spirit of poverty, that's demonic language. But you can't cast poverty out of someone. It's a power. You see, you can't cast out a power. But what you do to a power is you displace that power. You know, if poverty is an issue, and it certainly is, the way to defeat it is not by war. The way to defeat it is by coming against it with generosity, with kingdom generosity. When we come against the power of poverty with generosity, guess what? We displace the power. What are the powers that are at work? What do we need to displace? We don't need to fight individuals. It's not about this person. It's not about that person. It's not about the politics of it all. The grand scheme of things, it is about the displacement of the powers. The battle belongs to the Lord. If there's a problem, pray. If it's politics, pray. Doors will open. If it's finance, pray. Doors will be open. You know, if it's a problem with ISIS, keep praying, folks. Keep praying, because our media only sees the bad side. They only see the killing and the destruction and the evil. But can I tell you that while all that is going on, there are hundreds of thousands who are seeing Christ for the first time and turning to Him across the globe. The battle is the Lord's. Isaiah 2 and 4, verse 4 says, He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. God will judge between the nations and God will settle the disputes. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. That's a kingdom thing. It's good news. War destroys lives. God has a different plan. We defeat the power behind the problem. The problem disappears. Our purpose, our only purpose, is to make sure that the good news of God's love is spoken to the ends of the earth, and that God's kingdom displaces the kingdoms of this world, that the rulers, the authorities, the principalities and the powers get displaced by the power of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We've got to remember that it's by displacement of the powers that the kingdom comes. So today, let us be resolved to be strong in the Lord not get drawn into fighting the wrong battles, but put on the armour that God has given us. If need be, let's get to our war room. Maybe, just maybe, we need to get back to the ways that brought that missionary conference together in 1910. Ways in which, you know, people had holes in the carpet where they'd been kneeling and praying so fervently. We need to fight the battle we're in with the weapons God has given us. He's given us prayer and He's given us praise. Because by our prayers and our praise, the enemy is defeated. It's a battle we cannot lose because Jesus is our captain and our saviour. Amen.